B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour, Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Ted John Zo today. Super Bowl 36 just came on one of the TVs in front of us.
That's got my attention.
That's going to be distracting, isn't it?
Nah, I can't keep my eyes off of it.
How many guys you have out there for the flip of the coin, Ted?
I saw Troy.
My God.
Yeah, we had a lot of guys. A lot of leaders on that team. You know, the thing that struck me, Beetle.
It's like 14 guys up there.
It was a lot. They couldn't settle on just a few. So we had a dozen guys out there to flip the coin. But it was interesting to me that this is before we played the Rams in 2001,
yeah.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
One of the unique things that was part of that game was we did something that the NFL had never let a team do. And I think we did it basically without the consent of the NFL, which we were announced as a team. As opposed to individual players on either offense or defense. So we did that. We come out.
Pat Summerall said, choosing to be introduced as a team.
Which is badass. But I didn't realize,
that's how it went.
That's how it went. What I didn't realize is that our team, at the coin toss, we had our captains out there, but really.
Look at this pregame sideline interview with a player. When the hell was the last time that took place?
Boy, yeah.
Things have changed.
Big time.
Troy Brown's talking to Fox as they're ready to kick off.
Yeah, that is surprising.
When was the last time that happened?
You'll see that. You see the coaches.
That's
each coach
Pam
got one
Oliver,
question.
Right?
Pam Oliver.
Pam
yeah.
Oliver, right?
You're the best, man.
Yeah.
Each coach was interviewed right before the Super Bowl this year. For literally each one had one question to answer.
Right, Sean McVay. No. He chose to use his time talking about how great Bill Belichick is.
The best, man.
Yeah, I'm just getting ready for the game. I just told Coach Belichick that is he's the greatest. He's the greatest.
Look at Rob Pitts over there. He's talking to Kurt Warner.
Kurt freaking Warner.
It's like 10 seconds before the game starts.
Oh my God. Wow.
I mean, he's asking like
did you say Ron Pitts?
Yeah.
Good call on that.
How
I wouldn't
that guy get
him.
A job like that.
I don't know.
He's asking him like three or four questions.
He's still going. It looks like Warner wants to completely shake him off here and wants to get rid of him, but he just
with this ginormous shoulder pads.
He just keeps asking questions.
Oh, yeah. I had big pads like that too.
Warner keeps giving him a little something.
Man, there's like a 5-minute interview.
That was something. And now they're going to kick off the game.
Finally, can we get on with it?
That's crazy.
Boy, you don't see that anymore.
What was that show they used to have? Cheap Seats, where they'd watch old games and do commentary on them?
Well,
that was
the
name
that.
Of it. That doesn't exist in
like a Mystery Science Theater.
Mystery Science Theater
3000.
Yeah. I feel like we could do that. We could sit here and just talk about this game the rest
of the
day.
Sure, it's good radio, but we'd be
entertained. But we need a TV show just for that purpose.
Vinatieri's helmet looks like one step away from a leather cap, too. I think there's not much
to that.
What kind
of face mask is he rocking on?
He's got a 2-bar. He's all right.
2-bar.
Yeah, he wouldn't piss Zolak off too much. Hate that 1-bar face mask. Who is he talking about?
He said Matt Barr. When Matt Barr went with a 1-bar face mask,
right.
Which he had you can't even wear those anymore. But not only would he have 1-bar, he would heat it up and bend the face mask down.
Right.
So it would be down below his chin. He said his entire face was exposed. And Zoe said, I always just wanted to punch him in the face because he left his face exposed and it was
just easy pickings.
It was offensive to him as a football player that a player would leave himself unprotected like that. And he thought he deserves to get punched in the face for having that face mask.
One of the absolute best, most compelling training camp battles was in 1996 between Adam Vinatieri and Matt Barr. Matt Barr was the incumbent kicker. And Parcells brought in Adam, who was with the Amsterdam Admirals, I believe.
Yeah, he played in
the European League. And it was one of those deals where you had a guy in Matt Barr. I think he'd played like 15, 16, 17
years.
Oh,
yeah, he'd been in the league nearly
long
two
time.
Decades.
And here's Adam Vinatieri that nobody had ever heard of. And he chose Adam Vinatieri.
And Vinatieri didn't have a great rookie season either. He missed some kicks.
He did.
Stuck with him.
He did.
Stuck it out.
Yep.
Paid off. 617-779-0985. Bill in Rhode Island has a question for Ted about Bill Belichick. Hi, Bill. That's not good.
Bill, you there?
Bill? All right, wow. Bill, give us a call back. We'll see if we can get that question on for you. Let's go to Bob in Buzzards Bay. Bob.
Hey.
Hey, Bob.
What's up, bud?
Hey, Willie McGinnis. You guys haven't mentioned Willie McGinnis for the Hall of Fame. Ted probably knows a lot about him. I hear he was a great locker room leader.
Loved him.
Long career.
Yeah.
And I think if Willie's on that undefeated Patriots team, they close out that game against the Giants. Let me know what you think.
Yeah. Look, because I love – you mentioned two things. Great locker room guy and played a long time. Unfortunately, I don't think those are – criteria that goes into the Hall of Fame. I mean, Willie's in my Hall of Fame. I love Willie McGinnis. One of my absolute favorite teammates of all time. The guy's a stud. Now, you can almost, I feel like you could have a, I don't know how Willie's numbers stack up against other guys at his position, but if you think about what he was able to do in the postseason, it's a very similar kind of thing to what Edelman's going
through.
He has
the most career postseason
sacks.
There
you go. Yep.
So he's got more sacks in the postseason than anybody else still. I think it still stood up 16. And he's not getting really any consideration. Right. He's not being talked about at all for the Hall of Fame, and he's not going to get in.
No, yeah. I mean, look, I want
to. You know
what
another big one is? You got to be an All-Pro. You've got to be named All-Pro. Willie McGinnis was never named All-Pro.
Okay. I worked with Adam Jones on the great Adam Jones on Monday when you guys were flying back, Beetle. And we got down the Hall of Fame rabbit hole with Julian Edelman pretty much big time.
Ty Law, who just got in the Hall of Fame, two-time first-team All-Pro.
Okay. All-Pros, to me, are huge. Like, look
they
at the
mean
All-Pro.
Something.
All-Pros mean something.
Pro Bowls do not.
Mean nothing.
All-Pros mean something.
Means everything. And so, if you see a guy who's got a lot of All-Pros, four or five, you know, All-Pros, kind of, then are you – Zach Thomas – has five or I think four or five All-Pro years that he's been on the All-Pro. Doesn't even get talked about as far as Hall of Fame. Alan Faneca has got five or six All-Pro.
Five. He's got five first-team All-Pro.
Who
second-team All-Pros.
Zach
Thomas.
So
seven times he's been in the All-Pro, five of which are first-team, which are the most important.
Which is, that's a Hall of Fame career. And he doesn't even get mentioned. So this is not a perfect science. I think this is the point I'm trying to make at the end of the day, because I just look at, and to me, All-Pro is a huge, huge indicator about what kind of type of player you were. If you did it five times and you were one of the best at your position 5 years, that's Hall of Fame worthy, in my opinion.
Yeah, Zach Thomas not being really considered for the Hall of Fame.
It irks me to no end.
That's a snub.
It irks me to no end. He doesn't even get – I tell it to my buddy down there in Houston, John McClain, who's on a couple committees in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I'm like, John, why isn't Zach Thomas – it's like, what? Zach Thomas, he was dominant in those years that he played. And when you look at his accolades – They're Hall of Fame worthy type accolades. All pro to me.
And
is a
he's
huge
got
injury.
Similar numbers to Brian Urlacher, who's in.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I would think of, if you're making a case against Zach Thomas, I don't mean to diverge on Zach Thomas, but I'm just a big fan of his. The only thing you might say is, well, that defense was literally designed for Zach Thomas to make a lot of plays. I'm not saying it was easy to make, but you had two techniques in front of him, and I can't remember their names. And he was free to run sideline to sideline. Regardless, having said that, I don't care if it's designed. You still got to be good enough to go make the plays. And he made play after play after play, impact play after impact play for a long time. Him and Jason Taylor were two of the best at their positions those years that they played there for Miami.
He's never even made the cutdown, Zach Thomas. Like, hasn't even come close.
So you're with me on this, right?
That's a head scratcher.
It is, man. It just... So,
but that just tells
science.
You, though,
yeah.
A guy who's got five All-Pro to his name, first-team All-Pro recognition, is not even getting a sniff.
Yeah. So Julian Edelman.
It tells you, it speaks to how hard it is to get into this All-Pro.
It's phenomenal to think that Julian Edelman, as great of a player as he is, never made a Pro Bowl, never been on any All-Pro list.
And he's not going to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you can't with that
So record. You can shout it from the rooftops. You can scream it out at the parade yesterday. It's not going to happen for him.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, The Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, The Sports Hub app.
617-779-0985. There was also a moment last night inside the NFL. And by the way, Mic'd Up happens tonight, 8 p.m.
Must watch.
That's when that airs.
Appointment TV, I think.
Tonight, 8 p.m.
If you're into that stuff, that's
according to
porn.
My dad. My dad texted in to let me know about that. Heard us talking about
Hey, Mr. Bertrand.
He's Employee of the Month here at the Sports Hub. Not sure if you know that. For all his contributions down in last week. He was just running things.
Your dad?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, Hardy, what'd you make of that?
What?
He reminds me of another friend of mine whose father lives, I don't even know where, he works in the North End, okay?
Yeah.
He's got a shop down there. But he also has a job being kind of like a greeter, not type of bouncer because he's an older guy, restaurant. He works the front door of a restaurant. Not a maitre d'. He doesn't seat anybody. Okay. He doesn't answer the phone.
Not necessarily
what he does,
friendly.
Kind of a scary guy. Lets you know when you walk into this restaurant, you're in a serious place and don't F up. That's Beatles' dad.
Okay, gotcha.
On Radio Row, at the party. It's a good time. Friendly to talk to.
Yeah.
One time he grabbed and pulled and hurt my neck, but that was a misunderstanding at a Christmas party. Grabbed and pulled and hurt my neck. The 2018. Mr. Bertrand grabbed and pulled and hurt my neck.
Yes.
I put it in my serious injury journal.
I'm sure you did.
But he's just a guy that lets you know, don't F up around
here. Gotcha.
Well, and like I said, whether it's at the party, Radio Row, out to dinner, okay, things are going to, we're going to have a good time.
You know who his new best friend is?
But we're not going to get out alive.
You know who his new best friend is down there?
No.
Lenny Clark.
Oh, who doesn't love Lenny?
These two.
Who doesn't love
Lenny? They sat right next to each other at the game.
Because Lenny Clark.
So it was like, that was, you know, now they're best friends.
Oh, my God.
I believe it.
That, two of them. That would have been the place to sit for that game. Oh, my God. To sit in between those two? That's heaven.
Have you ever addressed Beatles' dad as anything other than Mr. Bertrand?
No, sir.
Gotcha. Then I won't either. Then I'm not going to either.
No.
Mr. Bertrand?
You want to know why?
I hope I get to meet you someday, Mr. Bertrand.
That would be effing up. Don't F up around him.
Gotcha.
That's all. Rules real simple. Don't F up.
Okay.
Is that pretty much the
pretty
rule
much.
In your house growing up?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can lip off every once in a while. You know, you can get a little,
always a threat of physical violence. A
little big for your britches. Don't take it too far. Don't F up.
Can I ask? Because I talk about dads all day. Did your dad live down there? Or is he live up?
No,
here?
No. He came down. He came down for the game.
Very cool. Okay. Yeah. First one he's been to.
First one. Okay. Enjoyed the hell out of it.
He did. Very
had
cool.
Had a great 4 days down there.
I bet. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And
I bet.
And had his eye on Hardy the whole time, making sure he didn't screw things up.
Hey, but you know what though? If you're going to go to the Super Bowl, I think one of the cooler things to do, if you can during that, if you're there earlier in the week, is to go to Radio Row. Look, we've worked it before. And we, you know, can get kind of like, it's the same
but
guys.
But the people who have never seen it in person, they're like,
it's a who's who. It's a who's
when,
who of people from the NFL.
As I said, when you're walking down the aisle, just when you think you're all over it, you walk by Evander Holyfield, who is walking like without handlers because who does he need to handle? He doesn't need anybody to run interference for him.
No one's going to mess with him.
No one's going to mess with him. Like, oh, there goes Evander Holyfield. And then, you know, Patrick Mahomes is walking around and, like, random actors or musicians and stuff. Just, it's kind of cool. If you care at all about that type of thing, which 99% of the people out there do, you are guaranteed to somebody to see somebody that you'll go, oh, that's pretty cool.
I had a friend who now lives in Atlanta, moved there recently, came down on Thursday, came down to Radio Row, wanted to see us say hello, and then was walking out and said, I just bumped into Jerry Rice. Jerry freaking is a big football fan.
Like, literally bumped into him. Had to
just
say excuse
brushed
me.
up against Jerry Rice, like in a crowded conference area. Like,
That's what I think makes Radio Row so unique is the access to like megastars. And it's not even football either. You have celebrities that are there.
Had Jenny McCarthy on our show.
Oh, she was fantastic. Can I tell you the absolute best, most amazing interview I've ever been a part of? Was at Radio Row.
Who was it?
It was, I'll never forget, my friend John McClain, who's kind of like the Will McDonough.
Oh, we love John McClain.
John's my guy.
We love crusty guys like
John's,
John McClain.
Long story, I won't get into it. He's the reason I got into radio. It's because of him. But anyway, so John.
He calls it like it is, that guy.
He does. He does. He's the best. And he will crap all over the Texans when
yes.
they're best.
Oh, he's said some of the funniest, most brutally honest things about the team that he covers I've ever heard spoken.
We also one year saw him on Radio Row wear like a Baylor sweatshirt like every day that he was there.
He loves this
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves his Baylor.
He's not putting on anything special for this.
Nope. So John calls me on the cell phone during a break. And he goes, Ted, hey. Would you guys be interested in getting Rob O'Neill on? I'm like, Rob O'Neill? Yeah, the guy who shot Osama bin Laden. I'm like, wow. Are you kidding me?
Is that the Phoenix year?
Yes.
Super Bowl 49.
And I'm like,
we met him.
Are you coaching, right? No, we got him right here. He's here with his dad. And would you want to get him? I'm like, yes. So I'm thinking, okay, a lot of times you interview somebody and somebody impromptu and what. You're not prepared. You want to be prepared. So what do you think I thought of? What questions I was going to ask Rob O'Neill when I had literally 5 minutes to prepare for this?
You're probably like Sean McVay talking to Bill Belichick.
No, I wasn't.
Hey, Rob, remember that?
When you shot
Osama? Did you really shoot Obama? Okay. Osama bin Laden. Oh, I'm going to get crap for that. Did you really shoot Osama bin Laden? Yes. Oh, my God, that's so cool.
You're the best, man.
You're the best, man.
I was fanboy, but I thought of the movie Zero Dark Thirty. Because the movie Zero Dark Thirty is about that. And I'm like, okay, so now I got reference points. I'm not kidding you guys. He told us details. He goes, we were like, none of this is classified. He goes, the things that are classified, you would actually be like, why is that classified? So he was so candid and about the details he gave. So I just used the movie Zero Dark Thirty as my reference point to know what questions to ask him. And in the movie... Jessica Chastain is the actress.
Sounds right.
Yeah, the redhead who was the one that was on the trail and the one that got all this intel and made these Rangers, Army Rangers,
right.
confident that Osama bin Laden was in this house, even though he had never shown his face. He had a courier doing all the kind of work for him and going out, and they found the courier. That's how they found Osama, but they could not confirm he was in there because he never comes out of the house. So basically they were taking her word for it, and she was like, I'm 100% positive he's in there.
He's in this house.
It's in this house. And I said, was her confidence, gave you guys confidence? Because that's how it was portrayed in the movie. And he was like, absolutely. She was, because the problem is you get bad intel and you go out there and one of your brothers dies. You know, he's going for, you're chasing a ghost, bad intel. So you want to make sure if you have a specific plan, a mission in mind, that he's there, that it's the correct intel, because you don't want any of your boys, nobody wants to have to die over bad intel, right? And she was so convincing that it gave them confidence going in there.
Wow.
And it was just one of those interviews you're just like, jaw dropped. He was so honest, so open, so candid.
I don't know if we've ever had like a heavy standout interview like
that. Yeah, I don't know that we have.
Mary Lou Retton, she was fun.
Yeah, talked about her visiting the mall in Detroit back in 1988 or whatever it was.
It was a Kmart.
Yeah,
Kmart. Auburn Hills.
Yeah.
But you guys were there.
Louis Anderson, I'm not sure who we
Louis Anderson, you and I enjoyed. I don't think Zoe cared, but you and I were... That we had fun with Louis Anderson. Yeah. I don't know.
Remember the New York Super Bowl when it was New York City?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay. But
the guy from Sopranos was walking around that room was there the whole week trying to push coolers.
They were promoting
which guy? Paulie Walnuts?
Ah, no.
The kind you can buy at Shoppers Image.
No, go on.
Are you two?
Bobby Bacala?
Nope.
He runs a comedy. He used to run a comedy club in Las Vegas.
The guy who was going the other way at the end of the show there. Why am I blanking on
this? Not Johnny Cakes, but the other guy.
Yeah, Johnny Cakes is. Why am I
Vito?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a radio. I think he was a radio guy for a little bit.
Yes. Why can't I come up with his name?
The movie Draft Day was about to premiere, and so Kevin Costner was there
in New York.
In New York,
yeah,
and that was. And I had one of
Costner
those.
Costner be cool.
What's Ben Affleck?
What was Vito's last name?
The actress that played in
Spadafore.
What's her name? Do you remember her name?
Ben Affleck's ex-wife.
Yeah,
Jennifer Garner.
Thank you. We had one of these little meet cute things. Like I literally was like fumbling around, and I turn, and then all of a sudden we bump into each other. Yeah, nothing happened. No sparks or anything. Oh, it was a little smile, and that was it. Sorry, excuse me. But then she just kind of. I was like, that's Jennifer Garner.
Joseph Ganascoli is his name.
There you go.
Life.
Vito.
Yeah. Vito. He was there pushing coolers all over the place.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like he was pimping them, like a cooler company hired him to be there?
No. It was his company. Like, he invented this collapsible cooler item that was branded, I think, with NFL logos.
Oh, wow.
Like, you could buy your team's cooler.
I mean, wouldn't you buy his cooler just because it's cooler he designed?
Yeah, I think he was asking a pretty penny for that cooler. Yeah, and that was, you know, that was, what, about 5 years ago? So that was right before sort of the roto-molded cooler craze started. So yeah. Probably a bad time to be inventing anything other than a Yeti.
Right. Right. Or a Yeti knockoff.
Right. Right, or a Yeti knockoff, like those ones from that company in Houston.
Poor Vito.
Yeah. Poor Vito. He was very lonely on Radio Row that week. Yeah, but I do remember that.
Okay, can I ask you just a totally random question? Because I'm not sure when I'll get to work with you again, real quick, both of you guys. Mm. The stolen jersey from Tom.
Sure.
It happened in the Houston Super Bowl. Yes. And I was embarrassed that somebody, you know, because us Texans are very proud.
Well, he wasn't from Texas.
I know, but.
Make you feel better?
No, but we should have done, us Texans should have done a better job of protecting Tom's jersey.
Well, they put the Texas Rangers on the
case.
That's what
I'm saying. Were you guys, that's exactly where I was going, Beto. Were you guys crapping on Texans Rangers? I was up here, I'm just thinking, were you guys?
Well, I mean, where was Walker Texas Ranger when you needed
him? All right. See, I was like, I bet you Boston Radio is just killing our Rangers up there.
Houston. I don't think so.
Way to go, Houston. Way to keep the guy from going into the locker room and robbing Tom Brady and going through his personal items.
We deserved it, Beto. I mean, we let you guys
However, that same guy had stolen a jersey at the previous Super Bowl. Had he not?
So he was good at it. Yeah. I mean, the Rangers are...
Yeah, the NFL is no longer giving him credentials, from what I understand.
They've learned their lesson with that.
I think that was the end of that. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dan Shaughnessy will be with us tomorrow on Zolak and Bertrand. He had a tweet 1 minute ago. He tweeted, embedded Pats operative Greg Schiano finally hired by New England as D coordinator. At Rutgers, Schiano made Steve Belichick long snapper. In Tampa, did joint practices with the Pats, then got beat by New England 23-3 in week 3. Traded LeGarrette Blount to New England, then ran off Darrell Revis, who wound up with New England. Shaughnessy should be a ball of fun tomorrow on Greg Schiano, who will be named Patriots defensive coordinator. We're getting to your calls on everything Patriots. 617-779-0985. Bill in Rhode Island back on the line. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a question for Ted.
Go.
Yes, sir. Go for it.
You got it.
Yes. Back in 96, did you have any idea that Bill Belichick would be the coach he is today?
That's a great, great question. And the answer is no. No clue. No clue what he was capable of. No clue that he was, the way he coached and thought and saw the game was on a different level. No, sir. I had no idea at that time. He was our secondaries coach. Al Groh was our defensive coordinator. I know he had input on some of the game plan, but I didn't hear that until after he had left to go to the Jets after that. So, no, sir. I did not know what I was really dealing with at that time as Bill Belichick as our secondary coach. Did I ever think that he would turn into what he is today? No. No clue. Didn't see it coming. My first impression of Belichick was this: the very first minicamp we had after the 95 season, I'll just never forget. It was the first play in like 7-on-7. And I did something that Belichick didn't like, and he comes up and he starts kind of getting in my face a little bit and yelling at me. I'm thinking to myself, who are you, bro? Like, I know you're the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, but dude, you're not even my position coach. You coach secondary. And that was literally like one of the only times ever that Belichick ever got in my face and coached me hard. But I just remember it was like the first play, first practice. He's the secondaries coach, and he's coming up and giving me the business. Who are you, bro? You know, that was my first impression of Bill Belichick. I had no clue that he would turn out to be as great as he was, though.
You should answer that. Absolutely. In fact, I wrote down on this piece of paper back then, this man will win 6 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots, and then you have like
if I was
4
really
crossed
thinking,
out, yeah. 5 crossed out, 6 crossed out, but you still date it, you know, whatever, 1996. Ted Johnson.
I've actually got him down for 8, so he's scheduled for 2 more.
Well, yeah.
Jack is in Plymouth. Hey, Jack.
Hey, what's up?
So
what do you think we should do at the quarterback position moving forward here?
Well, I think you give Hoyer a look in camp, and
I mean that's such a large, big picture question that we could spend a day on that.
I don't know.
What? Here's the immediate plan: Tom Brady.
It changes.
Get him a new contract.
It changes every year. Like 2 years ago, who's going to be the next quarterback for the New England Patriots? And you would say, well, he's probably a senior in college right now, and then he'll take over. Let's say 2018, maybe 2019. That's how you would have answered it. 3-4 years ago. The answer keeps moving, keeps changing. Mm-hmm. And I got out of the predicting the demise of Tom Brady business 4.5 years ago. I'm all done. Dad won't do it anymore. Forget it. It's useless.
I get it, buddy.
Guy says he wants to play till 45. Who am I to say otherwise?
You believe it. You believe it now.
I do.
Yeah. Do they draft?
How about this? I'm not going to question it until I see something that's indicative of him. And I'm not talking about a drop-off. I'm not talking about doing it indicative of him no longer being able to win as the quarterback of this team. Mm-hmm. How's that?
That's right? Fair.
To lead
I'm
this,
with you, brother.
Lead this team to wins. And so far, there's nothing to indicate otherwise. He may not look the same. He may not do it the same. The cast around him is going to change. But it has been. And he's been changing. He's been kind of evolving, whatever. You call it a drop-off in production. What's the only number that matters to these guys
at the
end of the year? The final score of the final game you play in. And until Tom Brady shows that he's incapable of putting up a decent number in that last game of the season, whatever that game may be, who are any of us to say otherwise? You can question it all you want. You're going to end up looking foolish.
Yep.
I just don't. I feel humiliated on a daily basis for a multitude of reasons. I don't need to add to it by saying when Tom Brady is going to be done playing football anymore. Forget it. I'm not doing it.
The number's 45, right? We keep hearing 45, 45.
Right.
He turns 42 next summer. This summer.
Yes. He'll be 42 at the start of next season.
Don't you think it would be in the best interest of the Patriots to draft a quarterback in this year's draft within the first 3 rounds? Or if they like somebody in this year's draft... So that the clock starts? No?
No, it's too long of a wait.
Okay. I'm just saying, by the time he's 45.
He's 45,
Ted,
he plays too long.
Of course it makes
That's
sense.
That's the problem.
But, yeah, do you want another Jimmy Garoppolo situation?
I would say you just don't want to be caught with your pants down. And when Tom's 45 and you don't have anybody in the hopper, yeah, you haven't been playing in, 2-3 years in advance. I think that's.
I'll tell you what. This year's a bad quarterback class, and they they don't have a great.
I'm just saying, if there was a
they don't have a great draft position to begin with. They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is the year to do it.
Yeah, I mean Jimmy came in late in the second, right? Garoppolo. So I mean you can get guys in the second round, third round. Russell Wilson, third round. So all right, just something to think about. And I want to make I messed up. I misspoke earlier, and I got people coming at me on Twitter, rightfully so. All right. I was wrong about Rob O'Neill being, he was not a Ranger. He was a SEAL.
SEAL.
He was a SEAL.
You said Ranger?
I said Ranger.
Oh, I didn't even hear you say it.
Yep. So a couple guys come at me, and they rightfully so. There is a difference. They're both elite forces. They're both badass entities. But Rob O'Neill was not an Army Ranger. He was a Navy SEAL.
Right. You misspoke.
I did.
It's all right.
I screwed up.
Beat yourself up.
I didn't even realize
you had said Ranger.
I didn't realize it.
SEAL Team 6. We all knew that.
I guess he knew.
I did say Ranger, though.
Right.
Just to make clear.
Okay.
Thank you for the correction, people.
We got time for a few more. Mike on the Cape. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Wow. all I got to say to you is it's easier getting Chinese food on New Year's Eve, for crying out loud. I've been hanging on the phone so long.
Well, we appreciate that.
It is. At least they give you like a time to come pick it up. Here, you could just be sort of dying on the vine.
And we're not giving you a fortune cookie.
Let's go back to what you were talking about earlier about the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, we all know what the Hall of Fame is, right? And the Hall of Fame, Julian Edelman, you can argue about anybody, Ted Johnson, Brewski, anybody. But what I got to say about the Hall of Fame is right now the Boston teams should be in the Hall of Fame. The Patriots, 6 Super Bowls in the last 19 years. The Red Sox, 4 World Series in the last 15 years. The Celtics, they got to get rid of Kyrie and his sorry ass and trade him for the unibrow and get another world championship for the Celtics. And then Patrice Bergeron and Tuca have got to score another Stanley Cup. Woo!
He was online.
That one's all over the place.
Dude, all over the map on that one.
He's all over the place there.
Where do you even start?
Patrice had 2 goals last night. Yeah, one of them was sort of given to him.
Wow.
But still.
1,000 games he played? Played in? That's ridiculous. That's a lot.
It's a lot. A lot of hockey.
That's a lot.
Hey, Pucks and Paddles coming up tomorrow afternoon at Royal Boston. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing many of you.
By the way, did you see Bergeron's final goal last night?
Yeah.
Pastrnak on the breakaway. I'm sorry. Did you just say
nope.
that?
Nope. Keep going.
No, never mind. Damn it. Ted screwed you. Ted,
I blew it.
You smiled a little bit.
Blew it.
And Ted screwed you.
I'm so mad at myself right now.
I said he had 2 goals last night, the last one which was given to him. And then you're about to tell us about it. Which
damn
was
you, Hardy.
No, I was not.
Yes, you were.
No, tell me what happened.
Yes, you were.
I didn't see it. What happened there? What did Pastrnak do?
Finish the thought.
Yeah.
You already said it. Why would I say it again? That would prove that I wasn't listening to what you were saying.
I'm the worst. I can't hold secrets. I get so excited. I want to tell somebody. I got all excited. He was about to walk into that.
He's going to do it.
It was pretty cool.
It was a nice touch.
Of Pastrnak to do that.
Nice touch. I also like that Marchand went after the puck after the first goal to go track down the puck and get it for him.
Where else was the puck going to go, though? I saw him do that.
Who knows? The ref may have picked it back up and used it again.
Shoved it in his
pocket.
Who
knows?
Yeah, I guess.
He may have gone to the faceoff circle and dropped the puck again, right? If he wasn't thinking to save the puck.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though, that Marchand did that. It's a little thing, but...
Oh, Marchand loves him some Bergeron.
Oh, he's all about Bergeron.
Who doesn't love Bergeron?
Yeah, but you know, Marchand...
You're the best, man.
You're the best, man.
You think that Marchand may be incapable of love, but oh, no. He loves him some Patrice.
I think we're going to be talking to Billy Jaffe at some point tomorrow. It is Thursday. Billy hasn't been on the program in a couple of weeks, and so we'll have a chance to talk to him about where the Bruins are at.
By the way, tomorrow we're going to have Billy Jaffe on, and we're going to be able to talk Bruins
with
him.
There
you go, bud. Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics, possibly tomorrow as well, assuming that his schedule works out and aligns with ours. And Dan Shaughnessy, as I mentioned, will be in from 11 until 1 tomorrow here in studio. And he should be a treat, as he always is.
Sorry, Beetle.
What?
Actually, thanking silently myself, I won't be here on Friday, and I won't have to hear that in fake promos. So that's good.
You're not here Friday?
No.
Okay. I blew it, Beetle.
All right.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, the program that's helped Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston lose 25 pounds and counting. What's stopping you? Takeaways today, we've got a couple of items. A couple items from today, including the reaction to Sean McVay sucking up to Bill Belichick before the Super Bowl even began.
You got to spend those 2 weeks psyching yourself up and saying, you know what? This guy ain't all that good. Watch that final play in Miami.
Absolutely.
He totally screwed that up. This guy is human and fallible just like anyone else. And you know what? I'm going to dial up a few things and I'm going to be ready for him. I'll be ready for the defensive genius. But instead, He goes out there and wets himself just like his quarterback did for the entire game. Goes out there like a puppy and just rolls over on his back and shows Bill his belly. All but the lipstick coming out for him. Oh, you're the best. Wagging my tail. I don't even belong here. No, you don't. You proved that. Yeah, don't, but you didn't belong there.
Where's McVay?
We got to get to the bottom of that.
Did he leave?
Bill, where's he at? Bill, turn around. He's on his knees sniffing your butt.
I got him.
There he is. He's right back here. He's saying hello like a cocker spaniel. Sean McVay.
That one's going to live for the offseason in L.A.
He's never going to live that one down, man.
Six of you Rams fans that watched that last night.
They don't care about that. They don't care one bit about that.
You think?
They know enough to care about it.
Yeah. That's true.
A real fan base would care about that.
Bill, you're so great. Oh, it's just such an honor to be here. Bill's thinking, I've already.
They don't. That's something that you care about after you're invested for the team for a while.
You don't belong here.
And by the way,
I'm leaving with the trophy tonight.
The rating in L.A. Didn't the game do like a 44
lower,
in L.A.
Yeah, lower than the national average in L.A.
To which I heard one Michael Felger say yesterday. Oh, that's a good number in L.A. That's a good number in L.A. It's a good number for a Super Bowl, but it's not a good number for your hometown team.
They've been there 2 years.
So people are.
It's about the long term.
It goes to show that people were not more interested in the Super Bowl in Los Angeles than any other year. That's all. Okay. Shouldn't they be a little bit more interested than the national average? Shouldn't they be more interested than audiences nationwide? Tiny bit more. Just a tick more. Give me a tick?
No, not really.
Okay, then. All right. It doesn't matter where they're from.
It doesn't matter what they do in year two. They're there for year 30.
It doesn't matter what they do. Makes no difference. What would that number have done in Las Vegas?
If it were the Raiders and it was Las Vegas.
Hardy,
would they get a higher rating, meaning percentage of houses? Yes. How many houses are in L.A. versus houses are in Las Vegas? This is the whole reason they're in Los Angeles. It's the second biggest market in the country. So a 44 there means a hell of a lot more than a 44 in Las Vegas.
But it was going to do a 44 if it was the Saints.
You go to any podunk and it does an 80. What does that mean? So it does an 80 in Topeka. You'd rather have a 40 in Los Angeles than an 80 in Topeka.
Do you think the NFL is happy with LA getting the same rating for the Super Bowl as they would any other year?
They should be thrilled to be in Los Angeles. Building that they're building.
You didn't answer my question.
Do you think
they're happy with that rating?
Makes no difference.
I thought it was all about the TV ratings.
I don't know how they feel. I would be happy.
Right. We're going to get to one more thing. We did not have Zoe with us today. Not sure when he will be back with us, but we do have...
Dismissive smirk. Oh, my God.
Oh, is that the, that's the worst.
But we do have Ted Johnson with us, who today filled the role of Zoe beautifully in doing this as we prepared for our first question with Brad Stevens.
Zoe always asks the first question, but he
usually asks a terrible one.
Okay.
And so we've started to sort of mock it, and we all have fun with it, and Zoe plays along, and Zoe has a good time with it, too. I play myself. Yeah. Hardy plays the role of Brad Stevens, and then you ask the first question.
Okay.
You think you can do that?
I'll try.
All right, we welcome in on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, head coach Brad Stevens. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Okay. Hey, coach. Coach, that parade yesterday was awesome, wasn't it?
And then what did Ted do when Stevens actually came on the line? Asked him the exact same question.
He was a good sport, wasn't he?
Which he answered.
He did. He was very thoughtful in his response.
Watching my hotel room in Cleveland.
But you can tell. Ted's listened to the show before.
Religiously. Every day.
He knows how it goes. We're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Felger Mez coming your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.